morning. Welcome, welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Kelvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio in sunny, beautiful downtown Waukesha. You can always join the show. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. If you have the opportunity to get outside over your lunch hour today, it's so nice out.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It really is. It's just beautiful. So
when I came in, it was it was dark, but it was overcast, rainy, and cold. And now it's great.
This is the weather I would go with all summer long if I had my choice.
Call it San Diego.
Yeah, exactly. We have a jam-packed show today. We have all kinds of guests for you. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area will be here at 10:33, and I'm sure we're going to talk about his new column on the Recombobulation area is about the new maps and what that's going to look like as we head towards the November election. And I have a feeling Mr. Schaefer will also want to weigh in on the end of the Bucks season. I know. Look at Calvin.
He's
closing his eyes.
You had a chance.
They didn't invite Calvin.
Yes. This was firing Adrian Griffin, underplaying Giannis's injuries, and then not flying Calvin out to the games. This is their doing.
That's on them.
Yep.
That's on them. Greg is very, very excited for hour number two. Bob Bonadurer from the Milwaukee Public Museum Planetarium is going to be here. It's National Space Day. And thank you to Calvin, because Calvin has been tasked with, we have a calendar for the show and everything that's coming up. And I asked Calvin to find, you know, weird things to celebrate, and he found National Space Day.
Wait, did you just call space weird?
No.
Okay.
You are as excited about National Space Day
as you are excited about
Rocco Del Medico.
Not what I expected. Is that a particular genus of birds?
He knows birds. He's a biologist with Pheasants Forever.
This might be the greatest show we've ever done, Jane. We're talking about space and birds.
And birds. I know. Pheasants Forever. He's a biologist with Pheasants Forever. Rocco Del Medico will be joining us at 11:33. Another bird has showed up in the U.S. that is not supposed to be here. So we'll talk about that. Wanted to start off. Keep the birds out. Okay. There is an article in yesterday's Cap Times that I highly recommend that you check out. We'll put it in our show notes after the show is over, by Andrew Ball. And the headline reads, "Conservative Group Sues for Easier Access to Wisconsin's Voters' Details." The Public Interest Legal Foundation, a group that is headed by an ally of the former president's efforts to overturn the 2020 election, the Public Interest Legal Foundation is arguing that state elections officials should be forced to more easily disclose their voter registration lists. This is the latest legal challenge in Wisconsin around the accessibility of Wisconsin's voter registration list. It gets a little complicated because the National Voter Registration Act lays out the standards for members of the public who want to look at voter lists, guaranteeing the documents can be made available, limiting the costs if you want access to said documents.
Yes.
However,
mm-hmm.
Wisconsin is among about a half a dozen states that had same-day voter registration when that law kicked in 1993 and are therefore exempt from some of the requirements that apply to the rest of the states.
Yeah.
So state law allows for voters and organizations to get a copy of the voter registration list from the Elections Commission, but it can result in fees of up to like $12,500.
Yes.
Republican lawmakers tried to lower the cap on fees for those records that was vetoed by Governor Evers amid opposition from the Elections Commission. The Public Interest Legal Foundation, otherwise called PILF, argues that Minnesota and Wisconsin should not be exempt from the requirement to more easily and cheaply produce copies of these voter registration rolls. The lawsuit says the exemptions are unconstitutional because they treat some states differently from others. Now, Deb Cron Miller from the League of Women Voters, who has been a guest on our show in the past, is quoted in this article again in the Cap Times. She says it's unnecessary, and those seeking to obtain voter registration data, quote, have to use the process that is Wisconsin's process, unquote. Cronmiller says groups like PILF want to purge the voter rolls, but she also pointed to a lawsuit from the League of Women Voters in 2021 alleging the state improperly removed voters as proof that this isn't always handled properly. Deb says there are processes in place. I think this untethered access is not as well intentioned as it might seem on the surface.
Yeah.
That's the there's the rub.
Well, there's and
there's the rub.
And there's a little bit more at the end of this article too. Regarding medical records.
Medical records. Advocates say this helps weed out fraud. And though it has been a target of baseless conspiracy theories after the 2020 election, state law requires voters who have been inactive for 4 years and don't respond to mail from the Elections Commission, they get tossed from the voter rolls.
Yes.
This happens pretty regularly. Yeah.
This is not a conspiracy. This is not a
no.
This is what happens when you don't vote and you don't respond.
Exactly. So if you haven't voted or been involved for 4 years and you've gotten letters from the Wisconsin Elections Commission and you haven't responded to them, they're going to bump you from the rolls. So
correct.
Last August, Wisconsin removed over 100,000 voters.
Yep. Yes.
In 2019, the legal arm of the Wisconsin Republican Party, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, sought to remove thousands of additional voters from the rolls who had moved in recent years, but the Supreme Court ruled that the state did not have to remove the names, although the Elections Commission ultimately did so later. So here's what you were referring to, Greg, at the very end of this article from Andrew Ball in the Cap Times. A separate legal battle is ongoing over whether activists can get records, including medical information, about people deemed by a court to be incompetent to vote because of a cognitive disability.
Yeah.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court will take up the case after two lower courts issued conflicting orders.
So there's a lot going on. This is not actually, what's weird is that this is not a very long article.
It really isn't.
But there's a lot going on.
There's a lot in here.
And yes. I told you before we got on the air, I'm of two minds of this whole thing. First of all, it's been 30 years since this law, this national law.
That kicked in 93.
Yeah, in 93. And I do believe in better access, more transparency. But this group has a history of trying to snuff out voting. Right. People off the rolls. They want to get them off the rolls. That's right. They want to make it as inconvenient. It's basically voter suppression, disenfranchising people. So there's another part of me that says, it's fine. And I agree with Deb Cronmiller who says, let the law be the law.
You so do. Just do it with our process that we have. It's fine.
It's fine. If you really want it to work, then you can find 12 grand. I mean, let's face it. Those groups, they got the money.
True.
So that's like, you know, I feel like if it went before the Wisconsin Supreme Court, actually it wouldn't even go because this is a national law. It could go before the Wisconsin Supreme Court, I think.
Yes.
I could actually see them voting in favor of doing away with the exception and saying, no, you need to make it more transparent, more accessible. Sorry, but that's just the way it is. It's been 30 years. There you go.
Time for us all to get on board.
And that's what caught my eye initially. But then it was the last part with regard to trying to receive medical records.
Whether activists can get records, including medical information about people deemed by a court to be incompetent to vote. And this all goes back to the 2020 election and what happened at nursing homes. There was not 100% voter participation.
Yes.
In nursing homes. That's not true.
The sheriff of Racine, as Eric Hovde refers to, found no foul play or no shenanigans.
Charges, no charges were nothing ever filed.
Nothing was brought up, but yet they're still talking about it. And the idea that they can access somebody's medical records, that's the scarier thing to me, honestly.
Absolutely.
Because then it brought up the question we asked each other was, okay, what happens if someone, this has to do with like medical records, has to do with being deemed incompetent or incapable by the courts, by a judge. Do you have your voting rights stripped away? Do you have so I actually reached out to friend of the show, Joe McClear, and he gave me some information that's not his total specialty. He works in
estate planning.
He works with older folks, make sure they're taken care of. And he did get back to me because what I asked him was, if you are put into a deemed incompetent, or as he said, into a guardianship, do you have these rights or these abilities taken away? And he said, if you're put into a guardianship, you can be, the judge can order a guardianship, determines whether the ward still has certain rights, such as whether to vote, to marry, but it's a case by case issue.
Okay.
And then the question I have, and he wasn't able to answer, but maybe we can find someone who can.
We'll look into this further. Yep.
Is if you are put into a guardianship, then are those rights that have been taken away, are they recorded somewhere, as far as like, if you are under my guardianship, Jane, and I'm like, well, I want you to vote for Trump or Biden or whomever.
Right.
Do I take you to the polling place and say, this is Jane Mattinair, she lives here? Or will there be something on the voter rolls that say, cannot vote, deemed by the court, guardianship, that kind of thing? So they're protected.
Well, we can. We'll reach out to Deb Cronmiller.
Lots of questions.
Yes, lots of questions. We'll reach out to Deb Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters and see if she can't join us to talk about this. Andrew from Maine on the text line. Only allow the voter registration lists if the Supreme Court justices allow access to the list of their sponsors and supporters. Andrew, I'm completely with you on that. I think the United States Supreme Court justices should all have to wear patches on their robes like NASCAR racers do, with all of their advertisers on it. And they should have their funders on it.
And they should be 10-year terms, and they should be accountable and
so many other things. The other thing, too, that we really wanted to drive home with everybody is make sure you have not been purged.
Yes.
Go to myvote.wi.gov. All you have to do is put in your address and it will come up. But I do think it's really important, especially if you have not been terribly engaged in voting the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people get tossed improperly.
Yes. And we've talked about that, whether it's outside forces or just because you haven't been part of the process.
Yeah.
Your name might not be on the rolls. And if you're listening to this out of state, go to your state's version of My Vote, because you might not have same day registration.
Absolutely.
If you don't, you're not voting.
You're not going to. Yep. Absolutely. So myvote.wi.gov. Check that out. Make sure that you are registered to vote and stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you live from downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform Elon is actively continuing to ruin. We're going to change gears just a little bit before Dan Schaefer joins us right after the 10:30 news from the recombobulation area. And we're going to talk about the layout of the new maps in Wisconsin as we head towards the November election. But I wanted to highlight a couple little lies that were kind of bandied around this week. Former President Trump, of course, was in Waukesha on Wednesday. And as part of his speech, he highlighted a vegan restaurant on the Marquette University campus.
Right away is weird. Red flag to me.
A vegan restaurant at Marquette?
No, Donald Trump talking about it. Like,
well, first of all, he said, I probably wouldn't like it. And he pronounced it wrong. He kept calling it vegan.
All right.
He says that this business owner of this restaurant, this vegan restaurant, she said her cafe did much better when he was in office. Again, this is from an article in Urban Milwaukee from Jeremy Janine, who does an incredible job. Shana says her business, quote, is being brutalized by the soaring cost of food. She's never seen anything like it. And right now, she says things just aren't working. She was doing great 3.5 years ago. She was doing better than she ever did. During the Trump years, she said, I was able to afford things. I was worried about my future. I am now, unquote.
Is that a lie?
There's one little hitch here.
Yeah?
That restaurant? This vegan restaurant?
This vegan restaurant.
Opened in August of last year.
wait a minute, but I thought she said that her restaurant was doing better during Trump's time.
Well, this is what Trump said on the stage.
Yeah.
He claimed she was doing so much better under him.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the restaurant was not open at that time.
Womp, 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 womp.
And then the other big lie that kind of jumped out at me from yesterday, and this is a lie. It's not. I'm real irritated with the, it's a falsehood. It's a mistruth.
Yeah.
Well, isn't a mistruth a lie?
Yeah.
So yesterday, Donald Trump, outside of the courtroom where he is on trial for essentially trying to hide documents that proof that he paid off Stormy Daniels for having sex. Anyway, he claimed yesterday that last week he said, I want to testify in this trial. I'm ready to testify. I'm going to take the stand. I want to do it. Yesterday, he said, I can't testify because I'm under a gag order.
That's not how it works.
It is absolutely not how it works. Donald Trump is under a gag order because he has been commenting on jurors and the judge and other people who are witnessing in the trial. You can't do that. That's called intimidation. That's what the gag order is for. The gag order is not keeping him from testifying in this trial.
Yeah.
Nice try, though.
But he's going to keep saying it. That's the thing, is we can keep saying and saying and saying. Because he said, I want to testify. And his lawyers were like,
wait a minute. Yeah. Maybe. Are you sure? Is that really such a good idea? Because I really don't think his lawyers want him to take the stand.
No, I don't think they do. I think that would be devastatingly bad for them. I think the prosecution is just with bated breath saying, yes,
let him
on the stand. Please let me ask him three questions and just watch him go from orange to red.
Well, it must have been interesting in court this morning because Judge Merchan began the hearing by talking directly to Donald Trump, quote, there may be a misunderstanding how the gag order impacts Trump's right to testify. I want to say to Mr. Trump, you have an absolute right to testify. The order restricting extrajudicial statements does not restrict you from testifying in any way. As the name of the order indicates, it only applies to extrajudicial statements. So there you go.
And you know what he did while that judge was speaking to them? He was just sitting there going, lunch. What do I want for lunch right now? He didn't get any of it.
Most likely not.
He's going to walk onto a stage next week and say, I want to testify. I would love to testify. I'd give the best testifying ever. The testification that would come out of my mouth would be the most beautiful because I had the biggest brains. But I can't because I'm under a gag order. So I can't tell you exactly what happened. I can't give my people the truth because I'm under a gag order.
And he's not going to wait till next week.
Well, no, but like,
I mean, he's in court now. He's going to come out of court today and go, you know, and potentially lie.
No, he will lie. I'm going to call it right now. I'm excited.
Prognosticating.
I'm calling it. I'm like the Nostradamus of Donald Trump and what he's going to do. He's going to lie today. I did it.
Fair enough. I think that's fair enough.
Thank you.
News is coming up in just a little bit. I want to remind you the Brewers are in action this afternoon. They're playing in Chicago at the Cubs at 12:45. You can listen to the game. News from the center, WRCE in Richland Center. That is 107.7 FM, 1450 AM. And you can also listen on WRJN in Racine, 99.9 FM, 1400 AM, and in Kenosha as well at 98.1 FM.
Excellent. I am nervous because it's the Cubs versus the Brewers in Chicago.
With Craig Counsell.
With Mr. Counsell, who I have mixed feelings about now.
Do?
I do. I was angry.
Is he the boyfriend who broke your heart?
Well, here's the thing is, he's the boyfriend who broke my heart, but explained it in a way where I'm like, I get it. We've drifted apart. We're not working together anymore. You go off and do your thing and love who you want to love. And then he starts talking smack about me in the press. Because he just made little comments about the Brewers and the fans that I didn't like. They weren't terrible. But I'm like, once again, Craig, it hurts the fans first. It doesn't hurt the players. They're millionaires.
That's true.
Whatever.
That's true.
This is baseball. But we were huge fans of you. And when you make fun of the attendance and you just make fun of Milwaukee, I don't like it.
It's that bad Illinesian influence rubbing off on Craig Council.
Illinesian? That sounds like a disease. I didn't call people.
Well,
I didn't say that. I'm just saying that sounds like you got a.
I'm not saying Illinois.
You've got a terminal case.
Illinois or disease. But
Illinois.
Illinois.
Yeah.
All right. News is on the way next. And when we come back, we'll do some recombobulating with Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network. And welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin coming to you from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call. You can text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us every Friday at this time to recombobulate. Dan Schaefer from the award-winning Recombobulation Area. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good morning, everybody. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
We will talk. I know you have your hat backwards right now. We'll talk about last night's game towards the top of the hour. We want to start off with your latest column in the Recombobulation Area about the new maps and what we're looking at and how things are looking as we move towards November, Dan.
Yeah, we've got a brand new landscape for the Wisconsin State Legislature under new maps. And now that we're, past the spring election, started to be in the fall election cycle, a number of candidates have been announcing that they're going to be running for these seats. So I kind of took an early look at what all is, how this landscape is shaping up right now and where some of the key races are going to be, how the changes in the maps are going to impact some of the key areas around the state. And there's some pretty interesting stuff. And I think we're going to have a very competitive state legislative election cycle, certainly unlike anything we've had in more than a decade, when it was basically impossible for Democrats to win a simple majority here in this 50-50 purple state. So, I think some of the early projections just based on the math of the maps was giving the Democrats about a 30% chance of flipping the state assembly this year. But it's going to come down to candidates. And so I was taking a look at what some of these races are, what some of the candidates are. And we've got some really interesting stuff here.
I just want to remind folks, and we've talked about what's going on in Tennessee, especially with regards to arming teachers, and they've been trying to push through this voucher thing, and that recently failed. But the reason the legislature in Tennessee is able to do all this stuff and force their own agenda is because they have a supermajority.
Right.
And this is why Wisconsin, we don't want that. We really don't. Because, again, it gives one party the ability to push through their agenda, whether their constituents want it or not. And I don't think any of us want that. And I think that was evidenced by the overwhelming support for Justice Janet Protasiewicz in that April election. So anyway, where would you like to start?
Yeah, so I think there, I kind of keyed in on a few different areas of the state that will have some particularly competitive elections, some of these that will, you know, determine who wins the majority in the assembly. You know, we've had more than 60 Republican seats of the 99 in basically every election for the last 12 years. It's going to be closer to 50-50 this year. So the first one I took a look at is in Green Bay and Brown County. You know, there are that's going to be a really closely contested part of the state in a number of ways, up and down the ticket. You know, obviously Donald Trump was there a couple about a month ago or so. There's going to be an open congressional seat there with Mike Gallagher retiring.
Yep.
So lots of intrigue up and down the ballot. And there are in the state Senate, there is one of the key toss-up races in that district. And in the state assembly, there are two toss-up races there as well. I'll start with the state Senate because it's you know, one of the themes that we've been seeing in the last month or so is there's a lot of movement among Republicans to try to literally move their place of residence to be in a more favorable community. So in the very interesting, in this 30th Senate district, the way that the map was drawn was that three Republican senators were drawn into the same district, but none of the three are going to be running in that district this fall. So the current incumbent in that district is Eric Wimberger, Republican who won by a slim margin in his last election 4 years ago. He's actually going to be running in the second district, which is a far more Republican-leaning district. That means the current second district incumbent, Rob Coles, is going to be retiring instead of running in a primary against him. Coles has served in the legislature since the early 1980s.
Wow.
So he was the longest serving member of the Wisconsin state legislature. He's going to be retiring now because of it. And then Andre Jock, who is the first district representative, he's not up for election this year because odd numbered state Senate districts are not up for election this year. And he is actually running for Congress in the Republican primary there. So it's going to be it's basically making it kind of an open seat here because of all this movement. Even though three Republican senators are there, there's all this movement and it's going to be an open race. So it's Democrat Jamie Wall, a business consultant who helped form the New North, a regional economic development organization, is going to be most likely the Democratic candidate there. And then most likely Republican will be Jim Rafter, a Republican who is the village president in one of the communities up there. So that's going to be a pretty interesting one. And then the 88th and 89th assembly districts. Again, in the 88th, there's a State Representative John Macko announced he would not be seeking re-election. So there are a couple different Republicans jumping into that one. Democrat Christy Welch, the chair of the Brown County Democrats, is the likely candidate there. The 89th, another one on the move, Republican Elijah Behnke, who is the current incumbent, is going to move over to the 6th District in a more favorable race there. Brown County Assistant District Attorney Ryan Spouty is a Democrat who's announced his candidacy. There has not yet been a Republican in that one. So we're going to be keeping a close eye on what's going on in the Green Bay and Brown County races. A couple others that are going to be really interesting are going to be in Eau Claire and La Crosse. You know, the way that these assembly districts were gerrymandered previously basically made it in these communities so there would be kind of one deep blue district and two kind of lighter red districts. Well, now all three will be competitive. And in Eau Claire, the 91st, 92nd, and 93rd assembly districts are all going to be closely contested races. A couple of them have slight Democratic leans. One of them has a slight Republican lean. We'll see what shakes out there. And then similarly in La Crosse, there's an opportunity for Democrats to pick up a seat there and you know, potentially hold the 94th district, which was the closest race on the map last year. Democrat Steve Doyle won that one. So some really interesting parts of the state that, you know, we think of as swingy regions, but haven't had that many close elections because of the way that the gerrymander has worked out. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens there.
If you're just joining us, we are recombobulating with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. He joins us every Friday at this time. We're talking about the new maps that we're going to have when we head to the polls in November.
It's nothing new in the world of politics and running for office. It just still blows my mind that you are so either unelectable or scared that you're like, I'm just going to move over here to, because I can win here instead of running. And if you don't get reelected, that means that the people that you represent where you live don't want you representing them. But instead, you're like, I'm just going to get an apartment across town. That's easier. Like, I'm just going to do that. Yeah, can I do that? I'll do that.
I really do wonder how effective that is. It doesn't seem to be working out that well for in Colorado for Lauren Bobo Boebert, who's done the same thing. And like Greg said, if your policies aren't popular in this district, why can't they just defend their records and their policies in the districts where they are? I could respect that.
That's too hard, Jane.
Oh, I'm sorry. We have to do hard things. Oh.
You know, there's one candidate that has really been on the move over the past 4 years is Milwaukee area
Bob Donovan.
Former Common Council member Bob Donovan.
Yeah.
Bob Donovan has really been on the move.
Seriously.
I feel like we should clip a soundbite from Monty Python, the Holy Grail, where it's just clip-clopping with coconuts. Every time we talk about Bob Donovan, Bob Donovan's on the move.
He's moving again. He's moving again.
Yeah, so he retired from the Milwaukee Common Council in 2020 after serving 20 years there, moved to Greenfield, and then moved back to Milwaukee to run for mayor in 2022, advanced in the primary, then got crushed by Cavalier Johnson. And then moved, quote unquote, moved back to Greenfield to run for state assembly. He won a close race there in the 84th. But now he's been drawn in to the new 7th district, which is currently represented by Daniel Reamer. This is a very Democratic district. So Donovan is moving again so that he will be in the 61st district, which is kind of the Greenfield Hales Corners district. And he actually announced his campaign at a bar called Fin and Feather, which is not in the 60s.
Of course it's not. Of course. I think while I was living in Milwaukee, Bob Donovan ran for mayor like 3 times. And yeah. Like he really
I guess
took
I applaud
Abraham,
his tenaciousness.
He really took Abraham Lincoln's advice to heart. Fail, 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 fail. And then one day you too can be state assembly member if you just move to Greenfield. That's a quote. That's a direct quote from Abraham Lincoln,
good to know. He's got it. Bob Donovan's gotta have 2 guys in a truck on speed dial. I mean, for heaven's sakes, he's packing up every couple of months.
He doesn't have a house, he's just a go bag. He just lives out of his car.
Well, it is gonna set up a rematch. With him and the Democratic candidate Lou Ann Bird in the 61st Assembly District.
Oh boy,
that is another one of the toss-up races that could determine the which party wins the majority in the state assembly.
That's so interesting that it's going to be Lou Ann and Bob Donovan again. That because like you said,
the bird.
That was a really close race last time.
Yep, that was less than 2%, and consider it is pretty close as there is to a 50-50 district in the Milwaukee area suburbs, and that was a really close one last time. But given the name recognition that Bob Donovan has, I thought it was pretty impressive how close that race ultimately was, and I think it's going to be certainly an interesting one in the Milwaukee suburbs. Another one that I was looking at in the Milwaukee suburbs that does not yet have announced candidates, either Democrat or Republican, is the 21st district. That's a real pickup opportunity for Democrats based on the math there. Republican Jesse Rodriguez is the representative there. She's, a pretty strong incumbent. She's on the Joint Finance Committee, compared to a lot of the other state representatives there, I would consider probably more of a moderate. She has not yet announced whether she is going to seek re-election in that seat, and there has not yet been a Democrat announced there as well. So that is going to be one of the ones I'll be monitoring to see what happens too. So still many announcements still to come.
Is there a challenger for Glenn Grothman?
In the congressional? Now, I haven't seen if there is yet. I don't know.
I just want to see him debate. I really do.
I wasn't sure if you were talking about Congress or pancake contest.
Any,
he loves pancakes.
Whatever. I'd be open to both.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem, again, he's one of these.
Certainly deserves a challenge.
Well, he is one of these perennial elected officials who, again, seems to have very little accountability, and except for he likes breakfast. We know that because he takes pictures.
And standing for pictures.
Standing next to people for pictures. He does that a lot. I would just like to actually see someone challenge him for once. Would be refreshing.
I would like to see that as well. We'll see what happens. You know, he's in a pretty safe Republican district, but you got to compete everywhere.
Well, and this is the year. This is finally the year. It is really nice to see a bunch of candidates coming out and people we have not heard from before who finally feel like they might actually have a somewhat of a fair shot. So that, if nothing else, is encouraging.
Yes. We talked about that when the new maps came down. We said like, oh, it's going to bring out a whole new cast of people. And that's great. And, you know, who knows? I've seen a bunch of my friends all of a sudden now they're running for assembly.
That's great.
Wouldn't have done it. They wouldn't have done it 5 years
right.
ago.
Right. That's great.
A year ago. So.
All right. We will continue recombobulating with Dan Schaefer. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Once I get strapped in the 210, wheels up and we'll be rocking, getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recombobulate me. I want you to recombobulate me. I need you to recombobulate me. Won't somebody recombobulate me? Distraction, oh, beautiful release. Memories seep from my veins.
Dan,
welcome
are you okay?
back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board. We're recombobulating as we do every Friday with Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area. And Calvin bumped in with that special song because the Bucks are done.
It's the end of the season.
It's the end of the season.
Oh, are
you okay, Dan?
Yes, okay. I'm going to be okay.
Good, good, good.
As
life
Pat
will go on.
As Pat Kreitlow put it, Bucks in 6 months.
Yeah.
Before we talk about that, I do want to say something really quick.
This is good.
So, couple weeks ago, Mr. Dan Schaefer, founder of the award-winning founder of the Recombobulation Area, reached out to me and said, "We're having an event. We'd love for you to be there." It was a thank you party essentially.
For subscribers
to come in, and you know, first drink is on us, and it was great. I'm like, I will be there, and it was last night, and I went and had dinner with my mom first because I hadn't seen her in a while. I'm like, all right, I gotta go because I'm gonna go to this thing. It was like 10 after 7. I'm like, I've got to get there before it's done. I rush over, I walk in, and I go, "Where's the event for the recombobulation area?" And the woman looks at me and goes, "We're the Ronald McDonald House. Are you here for the bachelor party?" I go, "No, I had gone to the wrong bar." Gone to the wrong bar completely. And I mean, just owned it. I mean, I was wrong. I was in like, oh, my friend threw over here and then walked out. I was like, nope. I'm the one who can't read. So that's my way of apologizing for not going. I really wanted to be there. But I also wanted you to know it's not because I just skipped it. It's because I'm dumb.
Did you have a good
likely
turnout?
Story, Greg? Likely story.
Yeah, right.
Just, you know, coming up with this convoluted story about skipping our events, you know.
The people at Mobcraft Brewing can attest for my presence there.
How did it go last night, Dan?
Oh, we had a great time. I didn't get the chance to watch much of the game because it was just catching up with a lot of recombobulation area subscribers. But I felt like it was an event that really, you know, captured the spirit of our publication. We had the Bucks game on. We had a lot of people bringing their a lot of parents there bringing their kids. So there's lots of kids running around. Yeah. and a lot of people, you know, hanging out and talking about the recombobulation area and the stuff that we cover. So it was a really good time. Had a great time. Appreciate everybody who took the time to come out and celebrate with us.
Nice. And if you don't subscribe, you really should. You should absolutely sign up. You guys do great work there over at the recombobulation area. We're going to move on to the Bucks and the Bucks loss and the end of the season. Calinator, Carmella has a question for you. What was your impression of the Bucks loss last night? I'm sad, but I realized we couldn't overcome injuries enough to win in the first round. I'm hopeful next year having a healthy team will make all the difference. So, Calvin, what did you think?
I don't know. I'm disappointed. The team, it didn't look like the same team it did on Tuesday night. And I don't know if it was a stamina issue or if Damian Lillard coming back messed up the flow of the offense or what happened, but there's just a lack of ball movement, lack of defense. It was not a fun game to watch.
No, not an especially fun one to watch. I think it was one of those situations where, you know, you kind of role players, bench players, whatever, will often play a lot better in home games during the playoffs. Cause you've got, you know, you think of Bobby Portis in the way he played in game five with those Bobby chants and Pfizer form in Milwaukee. He played great there. Didn't, you know, and then in road games, sometimes that doesn't show up as much. And then we saw that some of the Pacers kind of bench and role players really did some of their best work of the series in that home game in Indiana. So, you know, I think that is often the case with, and I think that was ultimately the difference in the game. I think, you know, Dame played well. Chris maybe didn't have it going the same way he did with, you know, looking like a flamethrower for the rest of the way he was for the rest of the series. But, you know, just the injury is just too much to overcome. You know, and this is the third season in a row that the Bucks season is going to end with one of their star players injured and not playing in the series. It was, you know, 2022 against Boston, Chris Middleton doesn't play. Last year, Giannis gets hurt in game one. This year, Giannis doesn't play any of the series. And it's just, you know, you don't even really know what to make of it because it's like, well, you know, this season kind of didn't go as planned for a lot of the Bucks, but it was like, okay, once we get, you know, our star players healthy for the playoffs, you know, we're going to give it our best. And I think it's, you know, I was reading a piece from my friend Eric Name over at The Athletic, and he was giving the season a grade of incomplete. And I think you have to kind of think of it that way because, you know, how much can you really say about, you know, the job Doc Rivers was done? I thought he coached a pretty good series, but it's like he didn't have everybody there. So it's, I'm not really pinning the loss on him, not really pinning the loss on the rest of the team. Cause when you don't have Giannis, I mean, it's a different team. It's a different dynamic. So,
but doesn't this also feed into this narrative that Doc Rivers is a fine coach, but he never wins in the playoffs?
It does, but it's also, you know, it's tough to really see if that narrative is something that holds up. Cause I thought given what he had, I thought he coached a pretty good series. I thought he coached better than Indiana Pacers coach Rick Carlisle in this series. I don't think that's a particularly good team. I think, you know, the fact that they allowed this game to go to six games against the Bucks, I think they're set up for to maybe even get swept in the next round against the New York Knicks, who played a terrific series against the Philadelphia 76ers and closed that one out in a dramatic fashion last night. So I'm really not impressed with this Pacers team, frankly. Yeah. And I think they're going to be humbled and then some in the next round.
You should absolutely subscribe to the award-winning Recombobulation Area. Dan Schaefer joins us every Friday from 10:30 to 11 o'clock. And you do some really in-depth reporting on the political races and the districts and all of that. So you're going to be very, very busy leading up to November.
It's 6 weeks until election day. Sunday is 6 months until election day. So buckle up.
Write that down. All right, Dan Schaefer, thank you so very much. We'll see you next week. Stay with us. News is next. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. In the arms of
through.